Amen. It's good to be here this morning in God's house. Good to see you all. Good to see your smiling faces. It's good to have my friend and a longtime friend of the church with us today. Don Reed is here. Thank you so much for being here. I was sitting there. Yes, go ahead. When I saw him come in this morning, I thought, man, that's like T-bone steak going to hear a bratwurst. But it's good to have you with us, Don. Appreciate that. Tonight, you want to be here. We've got Mickey's got a special music service planned for us, and we're going to start it off with the Bible drill. You want to come and support our children, teenagers in their Bible drill. Our youth are even going to be up here tonight. Youth, teenagers, remember that. You're going to be up here at 6:30 to watch that part of the Bible drill going on, and you want to come and be a part of that, support them, and you may even want to get up here and compete with them. I don't know. That'd be good. Right, Kathy? That's good. We can do that. Some of you may have recognized I am trying to keep a little bit of distance from you. I've held my hand out a couple times, a couple people. Not that I don't like you anymore. It's just that I'm not supposed to be contagious, but they've got me on steroids and different things, so I'm just trying to do my due diligence there as well. But this morning, we're going to talk about God's accommodations for obedience. And God's accommodations for obedience, this is kind of an extension from last week. We began last week in Acts chapter 8. We're going to go Acts chapter 8, begin with verse 26 and read all the way through verse 40. And we'll be picking up some from last week and then picking up some things this week. And I've got some good, I think, ideas that God has given for this today. You know, last week we started with verses 5 and 6 of this chapter, where Philip is in this town in Samaria, in this city, and the entire city is being turned upside down, so to speak, at the miracles and the teachings of Jesus, and just said people are following Jesus and coming to know Jesus, and they're all listening, the whole town, in one accord. And so then we get down to this at verse 26, and we read this part, first part, last week. We're going to read from 26 all the way to 40. So here we go. Starting with verse 26, it says, "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Rise, and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza.' This is a desert place. And he rose and went. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, the queen of Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, 'Go over and join this chariot.' So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet, and asked, 'Do you understand what you are reading?' And he said, the eunuch said, 'How can I unless someone guides me?' And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: 'Like a shepherd, he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth.'" In verse 34, "And the eunuch said to Philip, 'About whom, I ask you, does this prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?' Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with the scripture," the same scripture, "he told him the good news about Jesus. As they were going along the country road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, 'See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?' And he commanded the chariot to stop. And they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself in Azotus," or Aptos, "in Azotus, and as he passed through, he preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea." Father God, we thank you so much for this, your word, being able to read your word freely and openly, and be able to open our hearts to listen to your Holy Spirit as you speak to us. May you have the freedom by your Holy Spirit's power to speak into our hearts, our minds, into our lives today, that we would be changed when we leave here, transformed even more so for your glory and living the life Christ has left us for. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. We first looked at this, like I said, the first four verses of this last week, and there we read of the angel told Philip, the angel of the Lord told Philip to go down this dry, dusty desert road, And we talked about that and how this was, you know, he was in a very thriving place going on, ministry going on here, flourishing. And then here, he got up and left. And then here we read where the angel of the Lord told Philip to go and to join himself to this chariot, or to go catch up with this chariot, you might say. And verse 30 says, so Philip ran to him, to the chariot, and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, do you understand what you are reading? Now again, we see Philip's obedience. When the angel told Philip to get up and leave this nice flourishing ministry in this Samaritan town, to go down this dry, dusty, hot desert road that people didn't like to walk down, Philip did not question him. He did not hesitate. He just got up and went. And here he runs up to catch up with his chariot and then starts walking along beside the chariot. Here he hears the man reading and he understands, he recognizes that what the man is reading is scripture. He's reading from the scripture of Isaiah. And so I want you to see, I'm going to say four. I put three on the screen, but this one was just showed to me this morning. I mean, I knew it, but I guess I hadn't put it in here. The first one that is on the screen is called God Accommodates with Transportation. You know, God always accommodates. He's an accommodating God when we are obedient to Him. And so our first point this morning is God accommodates with transportation. In his obedience, Philip likely knew this was going to be a dry, dusty, thirsty walk. And I don't know how far it was, 3 to 4 days. I didn't get that out and measure it, but it's probably a 3 to 4 day walk. And this was not going to be a pleasure trip. Philip was in store for a long walk on this desert road. However, it's the first thing I want you to see. In his obedience, by running up to this chariot and walking along beside it, just as the angel instructed him, God provides transportation. Did you ever notice that before? God provides transportation. He runs up here and says, I got this long 4 days, but now you want me to run? Okay, I'll run up. So he runs up and catches up with his chariot, and God gives him a ride. He doesn't have to walk. God always provides for us, folks. In his obedience, by running up to this chariot, God provides transportation. This Ethiopian eunuch, who was the queen's treasurer, had a chariot. The main mode of transportation back then was walking. So Philip was walking. Now this, when it says chariot here, you don't have to envision this warlike chariot that you see in the movies, because a chariot really meant it was just a small wagon being pulled by horses. So it could have been any type of small wagon. And so this Ethiopian eunuch, who's part of the queen's court in Ethiopia, the queen's treasurer, he had a chariot, a wagon being pulled by horses, and running up to this chariot, walking beside it, Philip asked, do you understand what you're reading? And the eunuch invites him up. No, but come up here and you can help me. Just that small act that we normally read right past, we don't think that much about it, that's God accommodating him. It's giving him a blessing on the other side of obedience. Remember, I've said that several times here. God always gives a blessing on the other side of obedience. Once we act in obedience, there's always a blessing on that side of our obedience. And in his obedience to do what God instructed him through the angel, Philip is no longer walking. He now has a ride. God has just provided a blessing. And we need to watch that. We need to watch out for that. In his obedience, God will, and he always will, provide a blessing on the other side of our obedience. But oh, church, I just think so many times, we miss so many of God's provisions, of God's accommodations. We miss so many of God's blessings in Scripture and in our own lives because we're not looking. We're not looking. We fail to see God at work right there where we're at. But there's always a blessing on the other side of obedience. The second point, which is not on the screen, but the second point is God accommodates with an open door. God accommodates with an open door. Philip gets to explain the scripture. He gets up there. The guy says, tell me, Philip, who is this? Who's this man talking about? Himself or somebody else? And so the man opened the door for Philip to turn that conversation into what? We've talked about this. A gospel conversation. You remember we've talked about that. We spent September and we did some in January too, talking about how God will open those doors if we just be obedient to Him, act in obedience, God will open those doors. And here it's not Philip. Notice that it's the Ethiopian eunuch who opens the door, enabling Philip to turn the conversation to a gospel conversation. He just explains this scripture and then he shakes that and says, now here's how it applies to Jesus Christ. And he explained pretty thorough. because it doesn't say anything in there about baptism. But it does. The Ethiopian asks, what fails for me to be baptized a couple minutes later. And so the second, actually, accommodation of God here, God accommodates with an open door. When we act in obedience, God will open doors for us to follow through. And then what's number two on the screen, I'll call it number three now, is God accommodates with a way. God always accommodates with a way. The third accommodation of God to see here is that they are on this dry, dusty desert road, and what should appear? Think about this. A dry, dusty desert road, and there's water. You ever noticed that before? No, see, we take that for granted because we're so used to driving around central Kentucky, and we see ponds and lakes off to the side of the road all the time, so it's common for us. But they're on a dry, dusty desert road, and all of a sudden, exactly at the right time, you know, wait, 10 miles back, I think there was some water. Can we go back there? No, right now. Just happens at the exact moment that it's needed. There's a lake. There's a body of water. The Ethiopian eunuch is eager to follow in obedience to Jesus Christ and God's word and become a Christ follower. He's so eager that he says to Philip, see, here's some water. What prevents me from being baptized? You see, we most often read this as if it just happened to be a body of water along the side of the road like what we would see. But this is an act of God. This is something that only God could do. This was in the desert. There's a body of water right there at the roadside at the exact moment it was needed. This is an accommodation of God. This is a God-sized act. We talked about God-sized acts last week again, and that we need to be watching for those God-sized acts. And when one of these things happen, we need to write them down. We need to be watching for these God-sized moments. And when they do, we need to write them down and share them with others. And you're going to hear a couple today from some of your own members right here. But because of Philip's obedience, we see these three accommodations in this passage. Transportation, so that he did not have to walk. An open door, so that he could share the gospel. And then a body of water in a desert region, just so this eunuch could be baptized. You know why? Because God wanted this eunuch to be complete before he went back to Africa. He is, as I mentioned last week, what we believe to be the very first missionary to the entire continent of Africa. He's the first person we know of who was converted and went to Africa to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. Two words. Only God. Only God, folks. Only God could do something like this and plan this and set it up this whole way. And he did it just here. But the story does not end there. God is not finished. God is not finished rewarding Philip for his obedience. See, when we act in obedience, there's always a blessing on the other side. And God's not finished in giving blessings. Two God-sized things, events in one day is phenomenal. Three is something else. But God's about to do something yet. He's still got one more in store. And what God is about to do puts Philip in a category of less than a handful, I believe, will ever experience. In fact, in Scripture, he's the third. Only three times, other than Christ. Watch what happens here, verse 39. And when they came up out of the water, so they went in, Philip baptized him, as they're walking out of the water back towards the chariot, and they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more. He disappeared. The Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, and the eunuch went on his way rejoicing. He didn't get scared. He's rejoicing because he realized this is another act of God. This is another God-sized moment in his own life. And so he went away rejoicing. But where's Philip? What happens to him? Well, he's found himself at Aptos or Aptos. This is not in the desert. This is a seaside town. And I don't know how far it was because we don't know how far along the road he was, but it could have been 60 miles away. It was a distance. Hey, folks, what just happened here? God accommodates with an out-of-the-world experience. That's our fourth point. That's our fourth accommodation. God accommodates with an out-of-this-world experience. Some of you have had an out-of-this-world experience. God accommodates with an out-of-this-world experience. God accommodates by providing a ride first. When Philip was obedient, went down this desert road, he thought he's going to have to walk for 3 or 4 days. Then God provides transportation for him, provides a ride for him on this desert road. Folks, that's an act of God. That's a miracle of God. See, we get so caught up in the mundane that we forget to look for God's miracles. We forget to see where God, we don't even look for God in the miracles of everyday life. God accommodates with an open door to share the gospel. That's an act of God. That's what we pray for. That's what we should be praying for, what we're looking for, what we've talked about. God accommodates with a lake in the desert at the exact right amount of right time. Another miracle, an act of God that only God can do. And then this one. This is a supernatural act of moving a person from one geographic location to another geographic location miles and miles away. Folks, this is a feat that not even Star Trek could accomplish. For those of you who are Trekkies, God accommodates. God accommodates. God accommodates with, if you, when you're obedient, it doesn't matter how big or small, when you do, when you act in obedience, God accommodates, and He will always provide a blessing on the other side of your obedience. And this morning, I want you to hear two testimonies from your members. They've shared with me, and I ask them to share today. I love doing this, by the way. You don't have to share your testimony. You can share it with me. But, you know, if God, even today, if God's sharing something that puts something on your heart about something that you can come, and I pray that you would, that when God does something like that and shows you something that He's done in your life or He's doing in your life, that you'll come and you'll just pour yourself out to Jesus at the altar at the time of invitation. And then come and share it with me or Mickey or even Jonathan and let us know. We love to hear those stories, and I love to incorporate them in our services so that you can be encouraged by what God is doing in the lives of your brothers and sisters right here in our church. What you're going to hear this morning is two testimonies of people deciding to join God's chariot, to join himself to the chariot that God said, I need you to go join yourself to this chariot. Now, the first one, Judy, if you want to come on up, you can come forward. Judy Horn is going to share with us first of a testimony, something that's happened in her life. Now, this is not, Holly, if you want to come sit, well, you're right there. You can come sit on the front row if you want or whatever there. But Judy Horn is going to share first. And Judy has had her testimony is not her joining the chariot. She's actually in the chariot. And someone else is responsive to God's pleading, saying, I need you to join yourself to this chariot. Judy, you come on.
Well, I have a huge testimony, but this is a small one about a day when I was having lunch with retired teacher friends. And we had just finished lunch, and we were sitting there talking, and I got choked. Not just a little bit choked. You know, we all choke at times and think, oh, I'm not going to be able to get through this, but there was no air. There was no air. And I stood up, and everything was black, and it was just, eventually, all I had was just a little vision of light that I could see the table that I was standing over. And finally, I heaved. I didn't really feel what was happening to me, but a girl that I taught with, Connie Appleman, Coach A, all the Paris kids know her as Coach A, did a Heimlich on me. And it was, I mean, it was just, I just can't tell you how drastic it all was. I mean, there was nothing, absolutely nothing, no air whatsoever. I finally just heaved. I know that sounds gross, but that's what you have to do in those situations. And then later that day, one of my friends had taken me home, and then later that day, Connie Appleman called me to see how I was, and she said, you know, she said, I have a relative in Philadelphia who has died, and I needed to go. And she said, I had a reservation, my flight, and as I was coming in the door, I got a message from the airline that my flight had been canceled. So she said, I opened my mouth to say, girls, I can't stay. But she said, God would not let me. And she said, I stayed. I didn't know why. But she said, and then I do. She said, I had to do the Heimlich 3 times on you to get you going. But she said, I know that's why I stayed. So I am so thankful. I am so thankful for God speaking to her and for life. And the lessons learned here are huge. We don't have another minute that we know of. And your next minute could be not here. And I beg you, if you don't have Jesus in your heart, that you put him there so that you know that you'll see him when your time comes. Also, God is totally in control, you know. He's in control, and I am so thankful, and we need to always remember that. You know, we say, well, God's in control, God's got it. But we kind of say it, you know, when we don't really go, he is in control. And also, we need to get trained people. How many of you can do Heimlich, and how many of you can do CPR? Okay, we need to all be better about that and have somebody in every group. If she had left, I don't know where I would be. So, thank you.
Thank you, Judy. That is one of those, if Connie had not listened and been obedient and joined that chariot that day, we might not have Judy with us today. So we can all be grateful for what God has done. We've all got a chariot, and God wants us to join. Holly, come and share yours.
Well, if you email the pastor, this is what happens. So I'd just like to warn all of you. No, I'm just kidding. Many of you did the prayer vigil back at the beginning of February. And so I participated in both of them, but in case you didn't participate in this last one, about halfway through, your prompt was to pray for someone who was lost. And I know when we say people are lost, we think of people who have some really kind of struggle. They have addiction or some kind of issue. But I felt that I needed to pray for my child, Breck, because he had not accepted the Lord. And so I began to pray for Breck. Of course, I pray for my children every day. But through this, I felt like I needed to pray for Breck through the rest of the prayer vigil. And so I did. And I prayed for Breck. And just the week after that, I was able to go to Asbury and be a part of that experience. I actually saw George there. It was just a really life-changing experience, and continued to pray for Breck. And then, as many of you know, because of last week, on Ash Wednesday after Music Makers, Breck was getting ready to go to bed and stopped me and said, hey, I want to be baptized. And so we talked about it and prayed with him. And obviously, because of last weekend, Breck was baptized and accepted the Lord. And so I shared with this with George, and the day after I talked to Breck, we were coming home from school, and I said, Knox, did you know Breck's news? And Breck said, I'm going to be baptized. And Knox said, I know that things have been going on at Asbury, and ever since that, I've been praying that through this revival that people would come to the Lord. And I've been praying that Breck would come to the Lord. And so I'm driving, and like big, ugly mom tears are going on. But obviously, most of you were here last weekend to witness that. And I shared that with George because I'd never done a prayer. Well, I'd done the prayer vigil here, but I'd never been a part of something like that. And not to say that the first one wasn't meaningful, but the second one, definitely God spoke to me through that, and obviously spoke to my children as well. So,
when we're obedient and we go and join that chariot, whatever that, in this case, that first chariot was the prayer vigil. And so I thank Holly for sharing that today. She shared that with me in an email, and I said, man, I want you to share that in one of our services. And so I called her, or talked to her last week and asked her to do that today. But there's always a blessing on the other side of our obedience. If you want to know where to be obedient, is watch for that chariot. What is God calling you to go and do? It may seem like Connie's with Judy's experience. It's just having lunch with the girls. Could be much, much more than just lunch with the girls. It could be not just saving a life. It could be like Breck, saving an eternity. There's always a blessing on the other side of our obedience. We've just got to watch for those chariots and see where are those chariots that God wants us to join ourselves to so that we can follow in obedience the way God expects us and the way God wants us to, because he will provide a blessing when we're obedient, when we follow through. So I thank those ladies. That wasn't easy, especially for Judy. I don't know if it was easy for Holly or not, but it wasn't easy for Judy to get up here and share that. In fact, when she shared it with me last week, of course, you know, last week I'd shared about what I do with the body language and helping people learn how to communicate. She said, I'm not going to look at you, but I'm going to tell you this. And and afterwards I said, would you share that next Sunday? Because I'm planning a couple testimonies. And she said, I don't know that I can. But when I got home, I had a message that said, how can I not? And so thank you, both Judy and Holly, for what you did, for sharing today. May you be encouraged by that. We're going to stand and have a time of invitation, and then I'll come back up and share just one other thing before we leave today. But this is God's time. It's our time to respond to what God wants. And so you need to listen to what God's saying to you right now. He may be calling you to a chariot right here in this worship center right now. Let's pray. Father God, as we come to you right now after reading and hearing from you and your word and hearing testimonies of what you're doing in some of the lives of the people here, Lord, I pray that each one of us are encouraged. Each one of us will be emboldened. Each one of us will be pleading with you for more wisdom, more understanding of how to follow through, how to watch for that chariot, how to understand when you're calling us to join a chariot that you've got in front of us that we can run up to and join. And we're not doing it for the blessing. We're doing it because you're calling us to be obedient. But as we often say, we can't outgive God. So even in our obedience, we can't outgive you because you're going to bless us for our obedience. It's not that we deserve it. It's not that we've earned it. But it's through your graciousness. Father, pray that we each today would search our hearts for anything that may be keeping us from running after that chariot that you've placed in front of us, that you want us to join ourselves to, so that we can serve you by serving whoever's in that chariot. Father, for someone here who does not know Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior, like Judy said, well, I'm going to pray that today they would not leave this place without getting that settled. If someone's listening online, they don't know where they're going to spend their eternity. Pray that they would message us right there on Facebook. We can get back to them. Or call us. Call the church if they're listening some other way. Father, there's no reason why we would not want to follow in obedience, whether it's to accept Christ as personal Lord and Savior like Breck did last week, like his older brother prayed for him, his mother prayed for him, and others. No reason why we couldn't follow in obedience, why we wouldn't want to follow in obedience to you and whatever you're calling us to, except we want to act in our own selfish way. Help us put those ways aside so that we can turn to you in all things. Run to you and run to that chariot that you've got in front of us. Father, would you have your will in my heart right now? Would you have your will and your way in the hearts of every person that can hear my voice right now? Don't let us walk out of here without searching, seeking, watching for that chariot, for that next opportunity to be obedient to you in whatever small way it might seem. Let us act in obedience to honor you and give you glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You respond as God leads you.